Deuteronomy 20, verse 19. We looked at part of these verses last week, but we're going to pick up another part concerning them this afternoon. Deuteronomy 20, verse 19. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe upon against them, for thou mayest eat of them. And thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. Thank you, Father, for your word. Please teach and direct and help us and guide us, Father, I pray this morning, and we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. So if you remember, when Israel came up against a city that was not of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, when it was a city, like maybe a city of the Syrians or the Moabites or the Ammonites, they were to offer peace terms to it. If they received it, the city was brought in subjection and they were to pay tribute. If it didn't make peace terms, they were to put a siege to it, surround it, and then all the men, they were to slay with the sword and take the women and children and all the spoil for captives. Okay, now those cities of the Canaanites, Amorites, they were to destroy everything having to do with them. Nothing was left. But when they did besiege that city, when they besieged it, and remember, the Bible says a long time. Sometimes it took a while. There were times in the Bible that sieges would go on as much as 3 or more years at times. There sieges could go take place a long time. And you might think, well, why would someone devote that much time to a siege? Because listen, if that place holds out and resists, then somebody else is going to hear about it and they're going to hold out and they're going to hold out and they're going to, and pretty soon you're going to have rebellion. You've got, if you have control of a kingdom and anything rebels against that authority, if you don't squash it, no matter how long it takes, it's just going to spread. And you send a message that, you know what, we'll take the time to do what it takes to bring you under. I mean, it's things that have to be done. Now, again, they weren't conquering, but the Lord said when you do besiege a city, if it don't make peace with you, besiege it. But look what he said. Look what he said to do about it. Look how he said to do it. He said, when you besiege it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them. And thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down. And thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. So, what you did was, trees that could feed you, those kind of trees that had fruit and seeds in them, you were not to cut down. These were the trees that had fruit and seed, and the Lord said, don't cut them down. You leave them standing. You leave them standing, and other trees there that aren't trees for meat, you can cut them down, you can use them in the siege. You can build bulwarks, you can build a fort against it, you can build battering rams, you can do that, but not the trees that you use for meat. Trees that had fruit and seed. Okay, go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and verse 29. Genesis 1 verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. There you go. So Lord told them, after the flood, man's allowed to eat meat, but not before that. And the Lord said, trees that have fruit with a tree yielding seed in it, you can eat those. Eat those. You can eat the fruit and eat the seed. You like cashew nuts? Cashew's pretty good. Well, you know that in places that grow cashews, they also eat the cashew fruit. Because cashews are a fruit. And you're just eating the seed that's in there. Okay? I went over in New Guinea. You know, they had coffee beans. And somebody gave us some coffee fruit. And the fruit around the bean it's not too bad, but it's real small to a little. But there's coffee fruit too, because you're eating, you know, the bean there, and there's a fruit that surrounds it. And rather, most time when you eat seeds, there's a fruit that surrounds that seed that protects it, right? And the reason, in most cases, the fruit is there because there's a seed there. Now keep that in mind. The fruit is there because there's a seed there. And so the Lord said, these trees that you can use for meat, these trees that have fruit and that have nuts, have seeds in them, don't cut them down. Leave them. The trees that are meat for you, don't cut down. You ever heard the phrase, don't bite the hand that feeds you? Well, look here. Don't cut down. Don't cut down what's meat for you neither. Seriously, look here. Folks, look here. If your kids, your parents, and listen, not just getting fed physically, but if you get fed spiritually, if you do, don't cut down. Don't cut down the source of what's feeding you. Just a little something to think about, all right? But the Lord said, and we can cut down in all kind of ways. We can cut down in all kind of ways. Be careful. Don't let that happen. God said, look, those trees that have fruit in them, seed in them, they're from meat. You can't cut those down, but you can use other trees in the seed. All right, go to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. And verse number 10. Matthew 3 and verse number 10. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You know what spared a tree in Deuteronomy and what spared a tree here in Matthew chapter 3 was having fruit. That's what spared it, was having fruit. And that meant there was a seed that was within there. That meant that there was a seed in there. That fruit was there because there's a seed in there. All right, and that's what spared it. Okay, God's seed produces God's fruit. God's seed. Listen, if you have the fruit of the Spirit, it's because God's seed is within you. God's Holy Ghost, God's Spirit abides within you if you're saved, and that produces God's fruit. The fruit's there because of a seed. Now, I want you to remember that. The fruit is there because of the seed. And so ask yourself, do you have the fruit of the Spirit? Do you? If God's seed is in you, if the Spirit of God is within you, you should be bearing God's fruit. Go to Galatians 5. And we'll look at a couple of verses on that. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So look at some of the fruits of the Spirit there. Look at some of the fruit. There's nine of them listed there. And look at those different fruits of the Spirit. There's love. There's joy. There's peace. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. God's seed, the Spirit of God abiding within you, produces that fruit. And every believer, every person that claims to be saved, has got to be able to see evidences of these things in their life at some time or another. Now, granted, look here, we still have flesh. Okay? We still have flesh, and the works of the flesh, it goes on to say, are manifest. So you still got flesh, and that will account for the junk you see. If you're saved and you still see junk in your life, well, because you still got flesh. But every saved person, if they're really saved, has got to be able to say, I know that there's come a time in my life that God did a work in me, and from that time forward, I have seen that He has produced in me love. I know He's given me love that I didn't have before. Joy. I know He gave me a joy that I never had before. Peace. I know He gave me a peace that prior to that I didn't have. Long suffering. I know He's given me long suffering. I didn't have that on my own. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. I know God's done that for me. Every believer has got to be able to say, every believer has got to be able to say, I've seen evidences of these things in my life. I know God has produced them. Hey, I probably got in the way and there could be more of it in my life, but I can't lie. I know God has done this in my life. Whereas before, I had no temperance. I had no self-control, no self-restraint. I just go, but I've seen God temper me out. I've seen God produce that moderation and temperance in my life. He's allowed me to be long-suffering. He's given me meekness, whereas before, it was always just me having to be pushing myself forward, or me. But I've seen God do these things. Every believer has got to be able to say, I know I've seen God do these things in my life. I know that He has. See, and that's not bragging. That's saying, I know I've seen God do it. I've seen God do it. Brethren, if you haven't seen God do it, then you've never been born of God. God's seed doesn't abide within. Because these are the fruits of the Spirit. Why is fruit there? Because there's a seed inside there. All right? And then there's fruit surrounding that seed. Take your Bible to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. For the fruit, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. We saw that one there in Galatians. And righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You know, if you're saved again, you've got to have seen this kind of fruit in your life. Truth. That you have a love for, a desire for truth. To know more about God. Not just truth as far as telling the truth to others and being honest, but wanting truth, the truth of God's Word. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy Word is truth. And if you're saved, you've got to be able to say, you know, I know that God has allowed me to understand His Word now, and I couldn't before. Brethren, it's a miracle, you see. You get saved, and before the Bible was closed to you, you didn't understand it. And now, after that moment, now you can start understanding it. It's something God does in the new birth. Amen. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit's in all goodness. You know what? Once you got saved, if you really got saved, whereas before, maybe you had a chip on your shoulder, you was always trying to get over on somebody else, or thinking everybody was always against you, but now you had goodness to you. Goodness. That didn't proceed from you, but from God, because He now dwelt within. Righteousness. Doing the right thing, no matter what it may cost. Standing for the Lord. Truth. Brethren, I'm telling you. If you want to just take and say that a profession is what does it, well, okay. But that book speaks of fruit.
Amen, brother.
Amen. That book speaks of fruit. And you can't get around that thing. Sure. That book speaks of fruit. John the Baptist said, look, hey, brother, it don't matter, Old and New Testament, bud, God's looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit. And John said, look, listen, if that tree don't bring forth good fruit, hew it down and cast it in the fire. I mean fruit. Not fruit that you try to do by self-effort. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But fruit produced by God. See, look, listen, when I got saved, I saw God do things in my life that He was doing. That as I tried to walk with Him, He would just do. Not me trying to do it on my own. But Him helping, aiding me, Him producing it. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6. There's a sobering time ahead, buddy. Y'all, there's a sobering time coming up ahead. A sobering time. Our Savior said, many shall say to Him that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and done that and cast out devils and done that? I never knew you. Now, He didn't say, I used to know you, or I knew you at one time. He goes, I never knew you. They've never been born again. They're religious. They put on the show. But they've never been born again. There's no evidence of God's fruit. Brother, we can't get around that thing. We can't get around it. The fruit of the Spirit, okay, whose fruit is it? It's the Spirit's fruit. It's God's fruit. It's His fruit. He produces it. If He abides within, that fruit has to be there. Now look. I understand we still got flesh. And you'll see some junk because of flesh. All right. But you should also, if you claim to know God, yet at the same time, you should be able to see some things that are of God that He has done and is doing in your life that is because of Him.
Right.
You've got to see it. You've got to see it. Or you're not born of God. Listen, I am born of my daddy. And because I'm born of my daddy, all right? Because I'm born of my daddy, because I'm born of Billy Doss, that very fact makes me someone prone to be angry, someone prone to lie, someone prone to use foul language, someone prone to think of only their self. Because, see, my daddy was born of somebody who was prone to lie and who was prone to think only of their self and prone to only do what they wanted and prone to be rebellious and prone to be covetous. Because that man was born of a man who was born, you see, and he goes all the way back to Adam. I sin because I'm born of a man who sins, who's born of a man who sins, who's born of a man who sins, all the way back to Adam. But I got a second birth. And I got born of someone who doesn't sin. I got born of someone who, listen, he's not evil, he's good. He's long-suffering. He's righteous. He's merciful. Listen, so if I bear the fruit of the physical man I was born of, and that explains the stuff in my flesh. But let me tell you something. When I got born again, then I was able to bear the fruit of the man spirit, of the man, of the God spiritually that I was born of. You understand? Listen, if you're born of God, you will bear God's fruit. There's got to be some of it. I was born of a sinner who was born of a sinner. Thus, I came to this world a sinner and I sin. But if I've been born of God, then I've got to bear evidence of that somewhere in my life that is discernible by me and surely discernible by others at some time. It's serious business, y'all. A lot of people are claiming to be something that, listen, it's not there. I know a lot of people, man, they will tell you, they'll hold fast to it. I know I'm saved. I hope you are. But they're saying that because somebody got them on some church bus somewhere. Somebody had them say a prayer or something. But there's no fruit. The family don't see no fruit. People have stolen them. Their children in their 40s and all have never seen any fruit. Amen. Yet they'll hold tight. I said a prayer years ago. Where's the fruit?
Amen.
Back in the 80s, there was a commercial about Wendy's. Where's the meat? Where's the meat? Right? Well, let me tell you, the big question for eternity is, where's the fruit?
Amen.
Where's the fruit? Where is the fruit, y'all? If we're saved, it's got to be there. There's got to be some evidence of it. There's got to be where a believer can say, I know I don't do like I ought to do, and I yield too often to my flesh, but I know God has put within me mercy and faith and long-suffering and peace and joy. I've seen Him do it in my life. The believer will have times to where he's got joy in the Lord, a joy that transcends anything you can experience in this life. Let me tell you something. When you get to thinking about the Lord and how good He is, we sung it in the song, "What language can I borrow to describe?" And you feel like that sometimes. God gives you a joy. God gives you peace. God gives you faith. He gives you long-suffering. He gives you those things. And you say, well, I don't ever know in my life of having those kind of things. And you've never known God. God got a profession out of you. God never got what He wanted, your heart. He never got you. Because when He does, and He comes to live inside, His seed will produce His fruit. Look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The tree of life produces fruit, right? And during eternity, and it looks like the millennium, people will partake of the tree of life. But brethren, you know who our tree of life is? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's our tree of life. And you know what? That tree produces fruit. And Christ produces fruit if we truly know Him. If we truly know Him. So listen, does God's Spirit dwell within you? Where is the evidence of it? Where is the fruit? You've got to know that. And if you're sitting there going, well, I think I'd do some serious examining. I do some real serious examining of some things. Go to the book of Jude. Jude, verse 12. Jude and verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit.
Amen.
Not saved. They're religious. They hang around spiritual people. They hang around church things. But the Bible says they have not the Spirit. Notice they're without fruit. Whose fruit withereth without fruit. Twice dead. Never been born again. Notice the Bible describes them as murmurers, complainers. Walking after their own lusts. Not what God wants, but always what I want. Never content, never satisfied. Always something to complain about. Always something that doesn't suit them well. Always something to get them to complain and murmur or gripe about. Brother, God help us. Brother, what have we got to complain about? I'm serious. God help us, everyone. I mean, the good God that we've got, who is good at all times. Listen, brethren, examine yourself. Where is the fruit? Is the fruit there? A believer should be able to see some of it. If you say, well, Brother Dawson, I know I've seen those things. Well, praise God, that's good. But if you've not been seeing some of it lately, then what happened? Now, if you've never seen any of it, you've never been born again, and that's all there is to it.
Amen.
But if you have, but you haven't lately, something's not right. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Listen, you know what? You need to ask the Lord to help you, and you know what He'll do? See, don't look at it as being a thing of like, well, He'll just all of a sudden start making me fruitful. No, He's going to dig and dung you. To get you where you need to be, He'll dig you and dung you. He's going to allow some things. He'll allow some things. God allows things to get us where we need to be again. Where we can have joy again. Where we can have some peace. Where we can have some gentleness and some goodness. And He'll do those things to get us where we need to be. Or I walk with Him like it ought to be. He's not just going to take it and just do it. I mean, come on, that tree don't have fruit. It can produce fruit again. But it takes purging, digging, and dunging. You know what we got to do at times? I ain't had joy and I don't know when. I ain't had peace and I don't know when. I ain't long suffering. I'm impatient now. I got patience with nothing. I get irritable. I complain. I've been devoid of joy. You got to tell God about it. And then trust Him. And what He's going to do is say, Lord, I'm crowded out, dear God. I've just got tangled up. I need pruning. Lord, I don't even know where, but He'll start pruning. And it's going to hurt because it's cutting. That's a cutting and removing and a tangled up. But Jimmy, you know that grapevine over in that Bradford pear back there? You know, that thing left for a long time, and boy, it's just all in there. Just all in that thing. Boy, can you imagine if that thing could cry out or speak or say something? It's like, man, ow, it's just a chore, it's an ordeal. Tangled up mess. You want our lives to get tangled up. It'll affect our fruitfulness. You got to ask God to untangle you. Brother Jimmy worked on that thing out there. That thing didn't untangle. That Bradford pear didn't untangle itself. And that grapevine didn't untangle itself. Somebody had to do it. And we got to ask God, Lord, untangle me.
Amen.
Untangle me. Lord, dig me, dung me, do what it needs to be so I can be fruitful for you again. I don't want to be like this, Lord. And you got to be honest with Him. You got to tell it to Him. You got to be truthful with Him. Do you have fruit? What's the level and degree of it? What's the level and the degree of it? I mean, look here. If you've got fruit, if you've got it, and you've seen evidence of it, is it though as you would like it to be? You know, if you don't start catching things, it'll get you to where, man, that fruit's just about choked out. It'll get to a bad place. Catch it quick. It's always easier, quicker, and earlier, and sooner on. Where's the fruit? What's the degree of it? But you know what we have today? Now, you've heard me talk about this morning about fruit and a seed. Now, in your mind, maybe you were thinking, but preacher, I know at the grocery store, and I buy it all the time. There's seedless fruit. You're exactly right. Because man messes with things and produces seedless fruit. Man messes with things and he makes seedless fruit. But it can't reproduce itself. It's fruit without seed. It's fruit without the Spirit. It's profession without proof and power. You understand? Oh, it's a little bit easier. Ain't got to worry about them seeds. You know what? People like character without God. Man, that seed gets in the way. I like that seed. Man, them seeds. Without them seeds, most of the time you ain't going to get nothing. That's how it reproduces itself. That's how it makes another one. I like his seedless fruit. And listen, I know what you mean. It is easy. There ain't nothing wrong with, you understand. But there's a spiritual lesson there. And you know what? Men like fruit that they produce. They like character that's of their own making. But it ain't God ain't in it. And they don't like anything that's got character that's got God in it. That's uncomfortable to deal with. They like to work around that. Yep, man gets in it and man messes with it. And he makes seedless fruit. Did you know that seedless fruits are often clones, basically? And they result in noticeable reduction of genetic diversity. You got stuff by seeds and everything. You're going to produce different varieties. And ain't it a blessing, the different varieties of believers that we've got? Different gifts, different abilities, different things. That's a blessing. God does that, right? But man, let me tell you something. When man messes with things and makes his cookie cutter production factory kind of stuff, spits out everything just the same. Mm-hmm. But it can't reproduce. It can't produce God's fruit. There's no seed there. But it's just one like the other. That's what we do in churches today. That's how it's done today. God in heaven, dear Lord, help us. Precious Lord, help us. You know what we've got done today in our churches? What's happened is with all the soul winning plans, with all of this and other, you know what happens? We get them in, we get the profession, and now we teach them how they're supposed to be. And brother, I understand, we do teaching God, but it's not you. Listen, brother, teaching should be, we're giving somebody the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost bears witness and says it's truth and produces things in that life, not us trying to say, be this way. Be this way. Dress this way. Act this way. Do this. Right. And everything's all streamlined. Everything's all cookie cutter. Everything's all spit out. Everything's all, we can do that. Oh, I made a profession. I said that. They told me I'm saved. Now I learned to do this. I learned to do that. Rather than letting God work in truth in a life. To where you, the word is preached, the word is taught, and the Holy Ghost bears witness and says, you know what, this is how I need to be. God help me. God help me to bring my... Well, it's a struggle and you work, you know, and you bring the flesh in subjection. But today, we've got it all just streamlined and done and everything. And where it's all clones, man. You get some of these churches, I'm talking about independent Baptist churches, and it's like clones. It's like clones. Everybody's got to dress a certain kind of way, talk a certain kind of way, look a certain kind of way. Hey, God calls us all to holiness. Amen. Oh, yeah, all to holiness. But rather, God also lets us be individuals. Amen. But can you imagine? Can you imagine if it was a certain thing to where that the ladies were told they can only wear a certain color and the men only wear a certain color and there's only kind of thing? I mean, can you imagine that everybody would conform real good to that? That ain't the fruit. That's not the Lord working through and in somebody. That's not the diversity that you come from a fruit being in there. When you got clones are something that don't have no seed in them. They don't have no seed. And they kind of look like everything else. And it gets, you know what it does? It starts narrowing. There's no diversity. It starts narrowing down to a certain little controllable thing. You better be careful, bud. You can fool yourself. God's interested in making something real. And thank God for the diversity He gives us, but always in truth and always in holiness. You know, seedless believers are clones of others. They have no individual realness and uniqueness to them. It's the same thing when I did that study that time on pearls. It's the same thing. God's trying to speak out and yell something that you see with fruit, with seeds, and you see it with pearls. There's three kinds of pearls. There's a real pearl, a genuine uncultured pearl. Then there's real pearls that are cultured pearls. And then there's fake pearls. Now check this out. A real pearl, a natural, uncultivated pearl, there's a little speck of sand or grit that gets in there and it starts getting coated and it builds up these thick layers of what's called nacre and it makes a pearl. But the real, genuine, valuable pearl that really has a thick coating and will stand up usually doesn't have that perfect little shape that everybody thinks you're supposed to have. The real valuable ones that have a thick layer and they'll last, they're kind of odd-shaped, a little misshapen. They don't have that round, little perfect shape. You say, well, how good are they? That master craftsman says, that's not meant to go round bead on a necklace. We can make this out of it. He takes what's there and makes something special with it. Unique! Special! But you know what? A cultured pearl is a bead, a round bead, that's put in there. Now, it's a real pearl because it gets a coating, but it's not a thick coating. In fact, the way they say you can tell a difference is look for a growth ring because it don't have the growth rings like that one that's the real deal. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it's got growth. It just ain't real deep. And it's got that little shape everybody likes, but it won't last as long and it's not as durable. It's not as valuable. And then you got fake pearls. And they got that totally perfect shape. Just perfect round. But they're fake. They have no value to them. But they got the shape that everybody thinks you're supposed to have. All right? You know something else? The way you can tell a real pearl from a fake pearl? Real pearls, if you scrape on your teeth, they have a roughness kind of to them. A roughness to them. And they lack an inner glow. They have an inner glow. A fake pearl is real smooth, but it don't have an inner glow. It's smooth on the outside, but it ain't got no inner glow. A real pearl is kind of rough on the outside, but it's got an inner glow to it. And it's got a depth to it, and it's real. Same kind of stuff here, folks. Well, we got them in factories today. Factories. Too often a fake. But too often also, they're real. All right, they're saved, they're a real pearl, but there's no time for growth. We want them a certain little shape, a certain little way, a certain little. Don't give them time to grow. Just get enough on there to where it's a pearl, but no time to grow. Man, God's looking for that one that'll just sit in there and grow. And sit in there and grow. And sit in that thing and grow. And sit in there and grow. And get thick layer after thick layer after thick layer. Man, it's durable. It's going to stand the test. It's going to be there. It's got some value to it. But it's going to have a different shape. And it probably wouldn't look good on a necklace, but it ain't made to go on a necklace. That craftsman says, well, I can do this with that. I can do that with this. You better be careful about that stuff. And independent Baptists tend to be kind of bad for it at times. To get a certain kind of shape, a certain kind of way, a certain kind of. And everybody's just got this. But you know what? No time for growth. No time to really build up something that'll make you last, really have value to you. Let God do something special with you. Nobody's got time for it. We've got to spit them out just like a machine. Be careful, folks. Because God calls all to holiness and righteousness. But He also works with us individually to make what He wants individually in our life. Fruit with seed in it. Man messes with it. Seedless fruit. You know, seedless fruit and seedless believers, they're easier to deal with. But again, they cannot reproduce themselves. Well, you know what? Just a couple things. Those other trees that didn't have fruit, that didn't have seed, they got used. You could use them in the siege. And then they got destroyed. They got used. They got to be used. And then destroyed. The trees with edible fruit and seed, they got to live on. God may make use of you, even as he allows you to be destroyed. The key is, do you have fruit? The key is not, what I think God did something with my life. That's not the key. The key is, do you have fruit? Because if you don't have fruit, you're not going to get to live. Not eternally. Those trees got used and then destroyed. Pharaoh, God used him, then destroyed him. Nebuchadnezzar, God used him for his purpose. Be careful, Brother Lakir. If you choose to go along in self-righteousness, you're going to do it your way and you've got your own. God may make use of you, but that don't mean that he knows you, you're of him, and belong to him. He's looking for fruit. If you want to be able to remain and have eternal life, make sure you've got fruit, that God's done a work in your life, been born of him. Why? Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name, God may have used them. Never knew them. Judas cast out devils. And Jesus said he was an unbeliever. Better be careful. It's not so much being used or God did something in my life or I know God looked out for me here. It's just because he's good. What about fruit? I know God spared my life. Great, that don't mean you're saved. I know God did. Great, that don't mean you know him. Fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You've got to have seen it. I know God has done some of that in my life. I've seen it. If the level of it's not where it needs to be, ask him to do a work. Ask him to purge you. Ask him to dig you. Ask him to dung you. But you've got to be able to say, I know I've seen evidence in this that God has done in my life. If not, well, he may do something with you and allow you to be destroyed. The trees that got to stay are the ones that had fruit, that had edible fruit and seed. The last thing, look at Deuteronomy 20. Look at what was said in parentheses. Look at what was said in parentheses. Verse 19. For the tree of the field is man's life. Look at that. The tree of the field is man's life. The tree of the field is man's life. Okay. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. That's true in what we realize. 1 Corinthians 1. The tree of the field is man's life. The tree of the field is man's life. The tree of the field is man's life. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. There was a tree in a field about 2,000 years ago. A tree that was made into a cross. And that tree became man's life in the sense of that's where Christ was crucified and took our place. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it, the preaching of the cross, is the power of God. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Go to Galatians 3. Galatians, the tree of the field is man's life. The tree of the field is man's life. And there was a tree. There was a tree, if you will, 2,000 years ago, that man is able to have life, partake of life, if you'll come and find yourself at the foot of the cross looking to Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation. Galatians 3, look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a what? Tree. The tree of the field is man's life. The tree of the field is man's life. Christ hung on a tree to give you and I the opportunity of eternal life. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2. First Peter 2 and verse 24. First Peter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. On the where? On the tree. Where on the tree? The tree of the field's man's life. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Listen. As that tree that was put up 2,000 years ago become your life, your source of life. Have you, just like the tree of the field is man's life, have you found eternal life by coming to that tree that Jesus Christ was crucified on and receiving Him as your Lord and Savior? Accepting that, listen, that He came and He died, was buried, and rose again the third day, gave His life for you. Have you found yourself at the foot of the cross, trusting in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, and have you found eternal life by looking to Him? Have you found eternal life by the cross, by that tree that Christ was crucified on? If not, what could be holding you back? It's not God holding you back. If the Lord's speaking to you, dealing with you, reaching out to you, what could be worth rejecting Him? Let me tell you something. Those that didn't have fruit, they were destroyed. But those that had fruit, that had seed, that were meat, they got to live on. Tree of the field's man's life. Well, there's one tree. There's one tree. You know, there was the tree of life that'll show up again. But Jesus Christ was hung on a tree, and He is our source of eternal life right now. Oh, in the millennium, in the eternity, the tree of life will show up again, and Adam had. But that's not how we get it now. We get eternal life through Jesus Christ, who hung on that tree for you and I. But you've got to go to Him, look to Him, trust Him for the salvation of your soul. Have you done so? And if you haven't, what that makes any reasonable sense at all is keeping you back from doing so? If you profess that you have done so, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Where? And I'm not talking about proving to me. Listen, proving to yourself so that you know where you're at. Where's the evidence? Can you look and say, I know. I know what He's done. I'm not what I ought to be, and I need more fruit in my life. God help me. But I know there's evidence of things that God has done, fruit He has produced that's listed in that Bible that I know He did, that I couldn't do and I didn't have on my own. Well, then glory to God. There's some evidence of God's seed abiding within. But if the fruit's not like you'd like it to be, how's your joy been lately? How's your joy? What's happened to it? You can have joy. You can have joy. What's happened to it? Peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Have you found yourself more times irritable and snappish than not? Have you found yourself complaining, a bitter spirit? Have you found yourself with no peace, just unrest in your mind? Well, what's happened? What's happened? You can try all you want. You ain't going to try to. You ain't going to produce it. But tell the Lord where things are at. Ask Him maybe to untangle anything that needs to be untangled. Ask Him to take and dig and dung or whatever needs to be done to get you back to where you can be flourishing with fruit for Him. If you've ever seen evidence of it to start with. And He'll do it. And He'll do it. That we can be fruitful unto Him. All right? So, what's the condition? Listen. This message will either give you assurance, or help you to see where you're really at if you want to. It'll either give you assurance to where you say, I can't deny it. I know what God's done in my life. Praise God. But if it's not, if the fruit's not where it ought to be and you'd like it to be, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be honest about it? Are you going to quit trying to correct it yourself and say, God, just like I had to look to You for salvation, I'm looking to You now. I've got myself in a mess. Lord, I'm not having the fruit I ought to have. I'm not having joy. I'm not having peace. God, help me. And He will if you want it. If you're sincere, I'll do it. I know. I've seen too many times in my own life. His Word shows us. But listen, if the fruit's not there, then the seed's not there. The tree of the field's man's life. look to Christ and Christ alone, who suffered and bled and died and rose again for the salvation of your soul. And he'll take and he'll, listen, he'll come in and he'll birth you in his kingdom. He will abide within and he'll produce the fruit then that he and only he can do and only he can produce. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray help us, Lord, to examine ourselves in the light of these passages. Father, those trees out there, Lord, they've got fruit to them because there's a seed inside of them. But Lord, man gets to messing with it and makes fruit without seed. And Lord, man gets to messing with it and makes pearls that are cultured, but they're pearls, but they're not very durable, not very valuable. Or man makes fake pearls. Or Lord, man gets to messing with it and makes an Ishmael instead of trusting you to make an Isaac. Father, help us, dear God, to make sure that what we are and what we're doing are products of you, Lord, and your Spirit and your Word. And not merely, Lord, our own pulling the strings and working things out and doing it our way. Lord, help us to make sure we are a product of your supernatural power, that we are a product, dear God, of your Spirit and your promise of your Word. Lord, as borne evidence to by the fruit that you produce because of your seed abiding within. Father, help us to be assured, dear God, that we are a product of you. Lord, help us to make sure that what we are doing, dear God, is of you. It's of you. And Lord, that you are in it. And Father, dear God, help us to carefully examine ourselves and be truthful before you. And Father, I'm sure, I'd imagine that Lord, all of us could do well, dear God, with allowing you to work to make us more fruitful. And Father, where we need purging, where we need digging or dunging, oh Lord, allow it to be done that we can produce your fruit, to be fruitful unto you, Lord. And Father, if there's anybody here that's never looked to Jesus Christ, never looked to the cross, the price that was paid for them for salvation, I pray this would be the day. Father, guide, direct, speak to our hearts and have thy way and will, I pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed a moment, your eyes closed, I'm going to take and have the pianist play. I just don't think we can go over some of what we went over without giving a little time to think about some things. We got a time today. It's real easy for somebody to fool herself, and it just is. Can you see the things that God has done in your life? Things that he has done inside of you that only he could do. Have you seen evidence of God giving you love and joy and peace and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance? I'll thank him for it. It doesn't matter how many tracks you've ever put out. It doesn't matter how many things you've ever done. That's not the key. God may use you, but you don't even know him. Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Those trees of the field, some of them got used and destroyed. Ones that got to stay, they had fruit, they had meat, they had seed. Hopefully this will encourage you, because you can say, I know the things God's done in my life. Praise God, amen. But if you're like, but you know what? It's been more works of the flesh than fruit of the Spirit lately. Okay, what are we going to do about that? How's your joy? How's your peace? Christ died for you to have that. If we don't have it, it's not His fault. What are we going to do about it? If there's not evidence of it, the tree of the field's man's life. And eternal life was purchased for you and I on a tree 2,000 years ago where Christ Jesus hung and was crucified. And He was buried and rose again. Look to Christ. Look to Jesus alone for salvation. Make sure His seed abides within, producing His fruit in your life. Just be honest with Him. If you've been lacking peace and joy and love, tell Him. Ask Him to do whatever husbandry work needs to be done to where the vineyard of your life will produce the fruit that can be there and He wants to be there. I'm just having her play through one more time. Just want to think about it. It's up to you. What needs to be done? I don't know. But you and God do. If anything at all. Maybe you just need to file it away. But if anything at all needs to be done, you and God know what it is. Yes, power, all power surely is His. Appreciate it. Okay, folks, I love you. I appreciate it. Love you. Hope you have a good afternoon. Look here. If you need to do some chewing and meditating on what we looked at, do so. Anything needs to be done, take care of it. I hope you have a good afternoon. And Lord, we'll be back at 5 for Bible study and preaching at 6. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for this day, for Your word. Help us, Lord, to take it to heart, chew on it, meditate on it, and, Lord, take any action that needs to be taken accordingly. Thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your grace, and Your faithfulness. And Father, I ask this in Christ Jesus' holy and blessed name. Amen.